is on top of you. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Can I get a witness? Shake somebody's hand. Say, neighbor, I'm in my Friday, but I'm waiting on my Saturday, because Saturday ain't got but 24 hours. And early, early, early Sunday morning, Jesus got up. Ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? Shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, I don't know about you, but I come to praise his name. I come to praise his name. Anybody in here ever been sick and you know that you owe him some praise? Anybody in here, you know that the Bible says Jesus walked over to the treasure, and you ought to see him walking. When Jesus walks, somebody gets a job. When Jesus walks, somebody get a car. When Jesus walks, somebody get a raise. Anybody in here know it's all right? Say I. Say yeah. Say I. I know it ain't it all right. Have you tried him? I say, have you tried him? I want you to do me a favor. I want you to turn around. And when you come back, I want you to shake somebody's hand. Look them in the eye. Say, neighbor, every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come at this hour now to hear from Thee, speak afresh to our hearts. Meet us in the text and tailor the truth we're teaching to reach each individual, to share and to show what Your Spirit reveals to us. Lord, we pray that You would give us receptive hearts, understanding ears. And then as we learn these principles, give us power to practice them so we might reap the profit and give You the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 28, the book of Leviticus. It is one of the books of the Pentateuch, the law. And God has desired to speak to us from Leviticus chapter 27, verse 28. Recorded are these words: "No devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. No devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. For just a little while, I want to talk about consecrated commitment. Consecrated commitment. When an Israelite believer devoted something to the Lord, he was to keep his word. Tell somebody, keep your word.
Keep your word.
It was to be final and forever. When we look at the two stipulations that are given in our verse, which emphasize permanent commitment to the Lord, these stipulations are that devoted thing was not to be sold or redeemed by the one who dedicated them to the Lord. Now, I think maybe to help us just a little clearer to understand, a devoted thing was whatever you promised the Lord, you gave to the Lord, you committed to the Lord. And it covered a wide and varied area, varying from one good degree to the next degree. Here is what it was. It didn't matter what it was. If it was of man, if it was of the beast, it was of the field of your possession. In other words, anything that you had in your field, whether it came from an actual agricultural field or the field of your holdings, meaning of your power of possession. Whatever it was that you had as an Israelite, when you said, "I am dedicating this to the Lord, I am devoting this to the Lord," whether it was your service, whether it was your time, whether it was your commitment, whether it was your land, whether it was your money, whatever it was, it then became a devoted thing. And so one of the principles here in understanding what we are careful to note is you need to be careful what you say to God.
All right.
Are you familiar with the term Indian giver? The term Indian giver means somebody who gives you something and what?
Takes it back.
You can't be an Indian giver with God. When you devote a thing to God, the Bible says it is a most holy thing to God. You know, sometimes we get excited in service and we make commitments and we say, "I'm going to do this," and we say, "I'm going to do that." Or when we're down and we say, "Lord, if you raise me up," yeah. Or when we're out, yeah, broke, busted, can't be trusted, say, "God, if you give me a job, I'm going to pay my tithes." "Lord, if you open this door, Lord, if you do this, I'm going to do such and such." And when we're down and when we're out and when we're destituted and we're depressed and when we're oppressed, we many times make promises and devote a thing to the Lord
only to discover when things change, so does our devotion.
All right.
So do all of the things many times we've committed to him in that state changes. And here's what you need to know. The Lord changes not.
All right.
See, it's important to recognize, and I want to make this clear, because even today as we honor those who serve the Lord and who are in the service of the Lord, and the position that you now serve in, that's a devoted position.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And your service is a devoted service to the Lord. I need you to pick your scope up off of people and put it on God. One of the reasons why Jesus asked Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Then he asked him again, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And again, Peter, do you love me? Feed my... He was trying to get Peter's focus off the people.
Yes.
All right.
And on to him. Because when you love the Lord, your devotion is to the Lord, even when people get on your last nerve. Even when people make you mad, even when people make you want to walk away from the position, you have devoted yourself and service to the Lord. So if people upset you, make you mad, discourage you, bring you down, you've got to remember that your service is devoted to God. Not to people. When we devote ourselves and our service to the Lord and allow situations and circumstances to upset us, and we don't do what God's called us to do and what we've devoted unto him, there is a consequence we must pay.
All right.
Because it is now a devoted thing. Look at this, because what I want you to understand is how God works in the text and in this word. First thing is, do not sell it. I want you to write that down. Do not sell it. Because it says, no devoted thing, and it goes on and says, shall be sold. Say, do not sell it. If a man had devoted an animal to the Lord, but the price of animals went up, and he was offered a good price for the animal he had devoted to the Lord, he was not to sell it.
All right.
You know, sometimes when the value of things in the world go down, we'll give it to the Lord because it ain't worth much to us.
All right.
But if it becomes valuable and we have dedicated it unto the Lord, we've devoted it to the Lord, we've given it to the Lord, no matter how the world's value go up on what we have consecrated to God, we are not to sell it. The lesson is that we are to be committed to the Lord regardless of what the world offers us in exchange for what we have devoted to him. We are not to offer our services to the highest bidder.
All right.
We are not to sell out to the world because we can't get satisfaction in the church. First of all, let me be clear about it. Whatever gifts or gift you have, God gave it to you. And according to Ephesians 4, it was given to the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints. And when we take the gifts that God has given us to perfect the saints, to profit from the sinners, the devoted thing that God has given to us, that we've given back to God, should not be meted out to the highest bidder. Well, God's given me the gift of singing, so I devote my voice to sing in the choir. But somebody from one big studio, one rapping studio, from this studio, comes to church one Sunday, hears me, meet me after service, and say, man, I could take you all over the world. You don't understand. I don't care what the church is paying you. Listen, I'll give that to you as a signing bonus. Then you get to thinking, well, wait now, hold up here. You know, I could do a whole lot more for the Lord if I go on out there and, you know, poor Brother Al Green got caught in the mix of that. He, so I don't know, sometime when I turn on TV, they say, Reverend Al Green, I don't know if he's going to be singing Love and Happiness or he's going to be singing Amazing Grace. He's so caught up in between some of these things because, listen, we have taken our voices, our gifts, our ability, and sold them to the highest bidder. The devil dangles carrots in front of our face and makes it appear to be more rewarding than the service of the Lord. I don't know if many of you have heard it, but it is said that Whitney Houston was found dead in her hotel room. A gift God gave to her, she dedicated to the Lord, singing in the choir, but got caught up in a better offer from the world. And they painted and pictured how she'd be a superstar and all the rest of these things. And what they didn't tell her was that there were some demonic forces and powers to deal with behind the scene, that everything that was glitzy and glamorous was not real. And she lived a tormented life, from alcohol to drugs to perversion and on, because she sold her gift to the highest bidder. Listen, my brothers and sisters, it ain't all about money. It's not all about what the world can offer you. Because I got news for you. If you love to do a thing and you dedicate you to the Lord, God will bless you to be able to do whatever it is that is worthy of Him in the work of the Lord. If you're a comedian, you don't have to be a worldly comedian and cussing between every word to be funny. No, there are some great godly comedians who can make you double over laughing without having to say a cuss word. Ain't got to sell out to the devil. You want to sing and you've got that gift and ability. God can take you over the world and bring you to great heights in Him and give you all of the things of the world by staying focused on Him. And what He doesn't give you, you don't need. Because along with that comes His peace and His presence and His power and His prosperity. And His prosperity is greater than financial success. And so there are many areas where we sell out to the highest bidder and don't realize that God gave you what He gave you to be a blessing to His church. And if it's devoted to the Lord, do not sell it. Do not take it to the Lord and then take it back from the Lord. And so when you begin to understand this, there may be more profitable offers that come along from the world. There may be things that happen where you've dedicated and said, you know, God, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do the other for You. Even if it's a commitment to come to Bible study, to prayer service. Even if it's a commitment to be at church and you promise the Lord you're going to be there. But then the boss says, listen, I got some overtime for anybody who want it. And then you say, well, I've been praying for some extra money, Lord. This must be You. No, you got to know the voice of God. You got to know when the devil appears as an angel of light and he presents something, listen, that pulls away from the purpose of God and it profits you in that place. Listen, anything that profits you and causes you to go back on your word to God is not of God. What you don't realize is that God had this thing set up so that if you had followed through with your word, Listen, how many of you know God could take a crooked lick and hit a straight, a crooked stick and hit a straight lick with? God is able to take the little that you have and stretch it out and make it work where even an extra job can't make it work. God can give you favor where you ain't got enough money to pay it, and he either lets somebody else pay it or they tell you don't worry about paying it. When you dedicate and devote yourself, your time, your service to God, let those issues that you have be God issues. When one of the sons of Elijah's husband died, she went to the man of God and said, my husband, your servant, is dead. And the creditors have come to take away my two sons. What you gonna do about it? See, when you dedicate yourself to the Lord, when you give yourself to the Lord, your problems become the Lord's problems. And what you can't fix, he can. And because you and your gift and your service becomes a most holy thing to God, don't you think God won't step in and fix that situation? But listen, don't sell it is the first stipulation that we have. But not only does the text tell us not to sell it, but it tells us something else we must not do. And it says, don't redeem it. Look again. No devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Tell somebody, don't redeem it. Listen, not only were the Israelites not to sell a devoted thing, but they were not to redeem it either. This redeeming has nothing, hear me clearly, this redeeming has nothing to do with salvation. Don't get these two words and terms twisted. Listen, when it talks about redeeming here, it's talking about the person who has devoted a thing to God, changing his mind and wanting it back, wanting to repossess it because he realized, I may have given God more than I wanted him to have. But the problem is, you've already devoted it to God. Yeah. Now, when you devote a thing to God, here's what I suggest you do. Count up the cost.
All right.
Count up the cost. Make sure that you realize what you're giving to God is going to cost you something. First of all, God doesn't want anything that doesn't cost you nothing. Did you hear what I just said? God wants to know that what you devote to him, what you give to him, what you commit to him must cost you something, be of value to you, worth something to you. Make sure that you know that when it leaves your hand, that it's going to create a void in your life because it was valuable to you, but you know it is in a better place because you've committed it to the hand of the Lord.
All right.
Count up the cost. When you say, Lord, I don't care what comes, I'm going to give you this amount of money out of every one of my checks. I want to devote this to you because you've been good to me, because your work declares it. I mean, whatever it is. And then something comes up and you say, well, Lord, I know I told you I was going to give you an extra $100 above my tithe and my offerings, but this has come up. Well, here's what you should have done. You should have counted that in the equation. Because what you don't do is go back on your word to God. You don't pull that back from God and repossess it to put it somewhere else. Because it is a holy thing. It is devoted to God, and therefore, if it is used in any other way, it becomes unholy.
All right.
So here's what you need to say. God, I promised you what I promised you, and I'm going to keep my word. Now, I know it puts me in a bad position with my creditors or with this person or with that person, but I'd much rather be in bad position with them than to be in bad position with you. Because you knew my heart when I made the commitment. You knew my means when I made the commitment. And out of the sincerity of my spirit, did I do this thing? Now, I can't work it out, but you can.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
But I want you to know, if anybody's going to get what they were promised, it's going to be you.
Yes, sir.
The Israelites knew that their promise to God, listen, was to be forever. It was to be for whatever time limit that was placed on the devoted thing. And too many times, we as believers today miss the mark when it comes to redeeming things we have given to God, taking back things we've given to God, taking back service we've committed to God, taking back talents and gifts we've committed to God. We have missed the mark. And thereby have missed our blessings. My brothers and sisters, if you've given something to the Lord's work, do not try to get it back. If you made the commitment, some of you at the beginning of the year, Lord, I'm going to go to Bible study as much as I can. Ain't been here yet. I'm going to try to go to prayer service. Or I'm going to do this. Or I'm going to do that. And have already taken back that time. Taking back that committed, that devoted thing that they've given to the Lord. How much more is our service a devoted thing to God? How much more is the commitment to work in the work of the Lord a devoted thing unto the Lord? And people, when I tell you that God honors his word, and he honors those who honor his word. There's nothing that can be better than when you count the cost and give to God and keep your word about what you said you would do to honor God. When you recognize that, when you understand that, whatever that commitment is to the Lord, don't try and take it back. Because it is devoted, be a person of your word. When you make a promise or commitment to the Lord's work, stick with it. Be faithful. Commit yourself wholeheartedly, knowing that you don't have an option to back out, to turn around, to quit, to leave it alone. You're committed to see it through. The Bible makes clear that we ought to make a vow to the Lord and break it. We're not to say to God, God is not a man that he should lie, and nor are we believers or Christians that shall lie to God. God keeps into account everything, every word, every deed that's done in this body, and everything that you honor him with becomes holy to him. It was not holy till you connected and committed it to God. And now that it has become holy, you can't take it back and make it unholy.
All right.
The blessings of the Lord make things holy. You are holy because of his blessings on your life, because of Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done for you. Your holiness and righteousness is not of yourself, it is of him. And to take yourself from God means to take yourself out of holiness, out of righteousness, out of the things of God. And to see your life blessed, keep your word. Dedicate yourself and do what you've dedicated to do to God, and watch God promote you. Watch God lift you up. Watch God open up your doors and territories and expand and increase you. Watch God honor you, because that devoted thing is most holy, yes, sir. All right, sir. To God.